On House Bill 5021, which is the Department of Higher Education Operations Budget, I'll open a work session on House Bill 5021. Mr. Bender.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, members. I've distributed to you a memo for House Bill 5021. It's with today's date, and it's entitled Department of Higher Education Operating Budget, House Bill 5021, Part 2. You've had extensive work sessions on this budget already. You held work sessions between May 27th and June 4th. What this memo does is it includes the supplemental or additional recommendations in addition to those that you already approved during the earlier work sessions. If I may, perhaps, Madam Chair, just go through this, and I don't know if you want to take a vote at the end.
If we could just limit it to one vote at the end, it would be very helpful. Members, as Mr. Bender goes through this, if you have questions or comments, please feel free to interject.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, if all of you have found the memo, it was distributed to you again this morning, and it is here. I'd like to just start off by pointing that we have an additional debt service adjustment. These debt service adjustments are just designed to ensure that the budget has sufficient funding in it for debt service instruments that have already been issued. So this does not include anything for additional debt service that would be issued this biennium. We noted that we need an $867,653 reduction in lottery funds debt service, because the new estimate is that the debt service will be less expensive than before. In the non-limited other funds area, which includes debt service on Article 11 F1, bonds, and COPs, there is an increase that we'd ask you to note of $326,295 compared to governor's budget in the debt service costs in that area. These are just revised estimates based on updated knowledge of interest rates and debt service costs. Our next recommendation, number two there, is an extension service other funds adjustment. We are recommending that you reduce the other funds expenditure limitation for the extension service program area by $2.5 million and eliminate 34 positions, 32.81 FTE. There was some discussion of this at the earlier work sessions, and we at that time you asked LFO to look into this further to see if these were the actual numbers to represent the funds that are available to extension service, and we have confirmed that that is the case. So we are again asking you to make this adjustment to essentially put the budget in line with reality as to the funds that are out there available to the extension service from other sources.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bates.
Steve, I'm trying to find my old figures on this. Does that change the number of FTEs that are being cut?
No, this is the same as was in the earlier.
Back in May and July?
Yes. Okay. And I have actually attached the earlier memo for you.
I've got it for my records, too. I'm just trying to find the spot.
Sure. No, that's no change.
Okay. Thank you.
The third item reflects a vacancy savings adjustment. As you know, you've been going through all of the budgets and looking for vacancy savings. You had a discussion in the earlier work sessions about how to do that for higher ed, since higher ed is not on the state's position control system. And what we have come back here with you are the numbers associated with the methodology that you approved in May. So we are asked with one adjustment, which I'll mention. Consistent with that methodology, we're asking you to reduce general fund appropriations based on the calculation of a vacancy experience factor with other state agencies. And there is an additional reduction in education and general program area of $1 million beyond what those calculations would have in order to help fund signature research centers. So the vacancy adjustment numbers, given those, are shown here in number three. The amounts total almost $12,300,000, the 92 positions. And we further recommend that you adopt the budget note that is shown there. This budget note basically puts a dollar amount in. When you looked at the budget note last time, we didn't have a dollar amount in. So this puts in the dollar amount of the vacancy savings reduction, and it eliminates vacancy saving reductions in other funds due to a decision to allow higher ed to spend all of the other funds that they are anticipating. So that would be our third recommendation to you today. Our fourth recommendation relates to general fund reductions that the co-chairs had in their budget in order to help balance the state's general fund budget in this time of budget shortfall. The reductions are listed on page 3. These are the reductions as they were released by the co-chairs earlier in the session several months ago. They have not been changed since then. You can see that we, in total, we're recommending a reduction of general fund and education and general services totaling $73,970,000 and the elimination of 396 positions, and that you identify the general fund reductions as distributed through the resource allocation model for these particular programs. I think there were discussions of these in committee earlier. I can answer any questions if you have them now.
Please proceed.
Item number 5 deals with the education and general other funds limitation. The department is requesting an increase in the other funds limitation to allow for expenditure of the tuition and fee revenues plus the other revenues that are being now projected to be generated. This is a significant increase. When the governor put the budget together, this was before Measure 28 failed, and tuition surcharges were imposed as a result of that. The legislature knew that tuition surcharges would be imposed if Measure 28 failed, but when the governor put his budget together, due to the timing situation, that hadn't happened, and there was a low limitation or a lower limitation in there for tuition and fee revenues. Since that time, there have been additional increases in projections for tuition and fee revenue, relating to additional fee increases and enrollment levels that are higher than were originally projected. In order to allow the system to spend the revenues that it has requested to spend from these sources, as well as some expenditures from fund balances, we recommend that you increase the other funds expenditure limitation in the education and general program by that amount you see there, $145,236,037, and establish 788 positions that would be partially financed from those funds there. We also, this recommendation continues on page 4 of the memo. You had approved earlier a budget note relating to tuition. We're recommending that you rescind that budget note and approve this one instead to reflect the policy decision relating to allowing higher ed to spend their tuition and fee revenues. I can read this verbatim, but what this new budget note is basically saying is we've got the other funds limitation is consistent with what higher ed is requesting based on the tuition rates that the Board of Higher Education has adopted for the 03-04 academic year, plus the tuition rates that are projected in the 04, or that they have projected to plan to adopt in 04-05. They have not formally done that. They will do that in the fall. This says that it is your expectation that the board, that means the Board of Higher Education, will not increase rates on tuition and other fees that generate funds for the education in general limited budget beyond these levels, so beyond the levels you've already been told about, as long as the general fund appropriation to the department is not reduced after adjournment this session. The subcommittee notes that the emergency board may increase this limitation if enrollment levels exceed those that are currently projected. So if more students come in than they're now expecting, the emergency board has the option of considering whether or not to increase expenditure limits. And furthermore, this budget note would direct the department to limit the rates of other fees that are combined with tuition, the resource fees, to 8.6% of tuition revenue, which is what is currently projected. So this would be direction to the State Board of Education to not raise next year the resource fees at a greater rate than the tuition.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bates.
Thank you. Steve, I just want to ask a couple questions to make sure I'm clear on this. And from a 60,000-foot level, what we're doing is due to our huge budget shortfall, in the state, we're saying you can make up the difference through tuition.
Yes.
And you're further saying that with this budget note, and I don't disagree with any of this, I want to make sure we're just clear on it, is that if we have more students signing up, we already know we have more than we expected, but if more students sign up and actually attend classes, that they're going to have a limitation which will be changed so that they can accept those extra students and accept the tuition. My next question is, does the e-board have the power to allow them to also raise not only the number of students, but actually raise the tuition charge of those students individually? By that I mean not only the numbers, but the actual cost of tuition. Is that something the e-board can do also?
The actual tuition rates are set by the State Board of Higher Education. But what the e-board can do after you adjourn is increase the other funds limitation to allow expenditures of tuition revenues from tuition rates that are higher than what is being proposed. That is an authority that the e-board has by the Constitution. In this budget note, you are essentially telling the e-board what the legislature's intentions were. If the e-board chooses to ignore that, there's really not much anyone can do. But this would make it clear that the intention is, if more students come in, e-board, you may consider raising this tuition level, but we're expecting that not to happen, and we're expecting the board not to raise the rates above what they are.
Steve, I'm going to sort of speak out of both sides of my mouth here, but I want to make it clear what my position at least is. I have no problem with them doing what they have to do, just like we have to do what we have to do. And we can't fund them the way we should, the way we want to. If they find that they have to, I want them to have a leeway and the e-board to have a leeway that if they absolutely have to when that position, that scene arrives, that they feel they have to change tuition rates or that they want to bring in more students from out of state to balance this out, they have that leeway to do that. Having said that, I'm concerned about the type of student that we're going to attract to our campuses and allow to go to our campuses, because low-income kids and adults are going to have a harder time with this system with higher tuition rates. I know our number of students signing up are actually increasing more than we expected, and that's good, but I'm a little concerned about what that profile will look like when we get all through. Are we developing a system here that basically supports middle and higher income individuals to go to a state-supported school while lower income people have a more difficult time getting in? I'm afraid we're kind of drifting in that direction, but I frankly don't see any way out of the box right now. I think we're doing the best we can do under the conditions that prevail, hoping that when the state's economy improves, we can reverse some of this in the next biennium and make the system of public education a little more public and a little less private.
Thank you, Representative Bates. Madam Chair. Senator Mesrin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Dr. Bates, you gave me a perfect segue to ask my question.
I'm always ready to
earlier, thank you. Earlier in the session, we saw graphs and heard testimony how the enrollment of the university system was going to increase, even with the tuition increases, and that the community college's enrollment was going to decrease. We're getting very close to the new fall term. Have we got any projections as to, with these projected fee increases, whether those figures still hold true or whether there's been a change?
Senator, I don't have updated numbers from the community colleges, and I will try to get those for you. Higher Ed is reporting that their enrollments continue to grow for this first year, the year that starts in the fall at least, and I believe that the FTE count is up approximately 7% over the prior year. So they're still significant. They're still experiencing what is fairly vigorous growth, actually. 7% per year is quite vigorous.
Thank you.
Madam Chair. Senator Gordon.
I really appreciate the comments of Representative Bates, and where we find ourselves, the situation that we're in, just, again, begs to be addressed in another way, and that's through tax reform and restructuring. We can wait for the economy to rebound. That certainly is one place to look for hope, but there is something that we can do right now in the form of tax restructuring and reform if we choose to do that. So again, just want to put that on the record as well.
Thank you, Senator. Please proceed, Mr. Bender.
Recommendation 6 relates to programmatic fee remission adjustments. In the governor's budget, there was planned use of $58.8 million for the programmatic fee reduction remissions. As you know, you had a significant discussion of this program throughout your work on this particular bill. We're recommending that you approve an increase in programmatic fee remissions to $65 million. Although this is an increase from what the governor had proposed, it is less than what the institution, what the department is now requesting. It's $5 million less than what they had been requesting until their most recent revisions. So that's how the $65 million figure is figured. Because this is approximately $7.6 million less than the department is currently had been requesting, we do anticipate that without these fee remissions being offered, there would be more net tuition revenues available to the department to help support program costs. And we are recommending, therefore, that you increase the other funds expenditure limitation in the Education in General program by the $7,589,033. This is the difference between the fee remission levels that higher ed had projected and what is actually would actually be approved under this recommendation. The budget note on page 5 is just a continuation of the budget note that you approved in concept earlier. It indicates the amount of fee remissions, a total of 112 in total, 65 in programmatic and 47 in graduate fee remissions. It directs the department to limit fee remissions to these levels, and it indicates that situations where they may request the emergency board to increase that if enrollment projections go up. It also indicates that this represents 8% of gross tuition revenue and expects the department to limit the fee remissions to 8% of gross tuition revenue.
Madam Chair,
Senator Gord,
if we could just get on to the record that the department is okay with this budget note. And I say that we had so much discussion about the fee remission issue. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page now and singing the same song as much as that's possible.
Mr. Chancellor, would you come forward, please?
For the record, Richard Jarvis, Chancellor of the Oregon University System. Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, that is our understanding that we can operate within these limits.
Thank you. The only other thing I would add is that these are limits. And these are also, in effect, it places limits on how we are able to grow diversity, if you will, on our college campuses. I believe that's an accurate statement.
Madam Chair, Senator, yes, that is. Nonetheless, the commitment of the board for its priority on development of diversity remains unaltered.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Bender, please proceed.
Recommendation 7 is noting to you that the co-chair's budget supports the Signature Research Center's initiative, which would expand research programs in microtechnology and nanotechnology at the University of Oregon, Oregon State, and Portland State Universities. The funding that is available for this program would be for you to increase general fund appropriation for ENG services by $1 million and establish 6 positions to support the operation of the Signature Research Centers. We also note that the department has indicated they plan to spend $9 million of other funds on this program as well. The information here includes the understanding that this is an ongoing cost. The subcommittee that we expect to see the $1 million only adjusted for current service level adjustments in the 05-07 biennium budget. And there is a capital component to the Signature Research Center initiative as well, which we will be, we have recommendations on that for House Bill 5028.
Representative Bates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to get on the record a couple of things. You know, the state and this committee are strongly supporting the Signature Research Center, which is obviously something we should do and a good program. The other thing we've all been bombarded on, I assume, is the ETEC program, which we've all been heavily lobbied on. I spent some time looking at that, and I know the chair did more than I did. I was very concerned by how quickly that came forward through the session and whether it was well thought out, and I think the co-chairs felt the same way. Having said that, looking into that $20 million ETEC budget, I'm a little concerned that there is some value there, especially at PSU, where they want to complete their project there for engineering, and at OGI. But I would tell you also, I'm going to be honest about this, I have real concerns about the ETEC budget other than that, and I don't think we're actually going to consider that, is my understanding at this time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Please proceed, Mr. Bender.
Our final recommendation is more of a technical recommendation. It is, we are recommending that you approve the other adjustments that the governor came to develop the budget that he presented to you. The recommendations that we've been talking about specifically reflect changes to that budget. So we've outlined here the changes we're asking you to make to the governor's budget. And then just to clarify that these changes are being made from the governor's balanced budget level, that's really all that recommendation 8 is doing. It's giving the starting point from which these other recommendations change. And that would complete the LFO recommendations. I do note to you that we've also distributed to you House Bill 5021-1 amendments. These are the amendments that are consistent. If you approve the recommendations in their entirety, these amendments reflect those in the budget bill, and the budget, these amendments are in order, and the bill would be ready to go. House Bill 5021 is a blank bill currently. This amends all of this language in here. So everything that you see here would be what would be in the bill.
Chair would accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendations for House Bill 5021 in a memo level Part 2 dated August 12, 2003, move the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 5021, and move House Bill 5021 as amended to the Full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
So moved.
We have the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Representative March.
I just want to put on the record that while we're increasing our student FTE by 7%, we're retreating our general fund match by from the governor's balanced budget by over 11%, which means we're placing a higher and greater burden on each student and their families in this budget. And I just thought it should be noted. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative March. Further discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon.
This goes to the ETIC proposal, and I think it would be appropriate, Madam Chair, to ask the department if they had any other words they wish to share about that proposal. I should have asked that earlier. If you do not, that's fine, but just wanted to give the department the opportunity to speak to the ETIC proposal.
Are we permitted to do that while we have a motion on the floor?
I think it would be up to you.
If the chancellor would care to come forward.
And thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, for the record, Brad McCarran, Director of Government Relations. I believe that's an issue which is addressed to 5028, the capital bill, which will follow this one. Happy to answer that question at the time.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
A further discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried, and I will close the work session on House Bill 5021 and open a work session on House Bill 5028. We need some carriers. I will carry this in full and on the House floor. And Senator Gordy, do you feel comfortable carrying this on the Senate floor?
I would. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll carry it.
You want to carry it on the House
floor? No.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Excellent.
You can carry the next.
Thank you. Thank
Did I open the work session? No, I reopened the work session of House Bill 1528 if I didn't do that. Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have a memo for you on House Bill 5028 and a set of proposed amendments, the dash six amendments. House Bill 5028 is the capital construction budget for the Department of Higher Education, which under the state constitution must be done in a separate bill from the operating budget. So that is why you see this as a separate bill. You have all had work sessions on the capital construction budget, a work session on July 3rd, and if you look at this material, if you just look to the very back page, if you just flip it over, this is sort of what you had approved on that table as of that work session. The remaining items that we are asking you to approve are limited. Most of the projects are already approved, as you can see. But our first recommendation is to approve capital construction projects for the Signature Research Center Initiative, which you just approved funding for operating costs. These include three projects, one on each of the three campuses that are involved in the Signature Research Center Initiative. The total is for $40 million in capital construction, and that consists of $10 million in Article 11 G bonds, $10 million in lottery bonds, matched by $20 million, or along with $20 million in gifts, grants, and donation funds to help construct these three facilities. There's a bit of detail there at the bottom of the first paragraph on page one of what the three projects are, the amounts of the three projects, and the funding of the three projects. We are recommending this as the capital construction component of the Signature Research Center Initiative.
Please proceed, Mr. Bender.
Our second recommendation is a new project. It's for the University of Oregon Theater Complex. We're recommending that the subcommittee approve an expansion and alteration of the theater complex at the University of Oregon and establish a $6,360,000 other funds, other revenues, including federal funds, expenditure limitation for the project, which will be fully funded by donations.
Please proceed.
Our next item relates to academic modernization, capital repair, deferred maintenance, code and safety compliance. At your July 3rd work session, you reduced general fund for this by $1 million and Article 11 G bonds by $1 million. As you recall, the Article 11 G bonds are matched with general fund. This was done to conform to the co-chair's budget, but really the co-chair's budget only included the $1 million general fund reduction. That was the component. The other Article 11 G bond reduction was taken because of the match situation. But the department has come forward and requested that you allow them to use other revenues, including donation funds, to serve as the match for the Article 11 G bonds, and that you restore the $1 million in Article 11 G bond reduction and authorize the department to use these donations as the required match for that $1 million. LFO does recommend approval of this request, which does remain consistent with the co-chair's budget, but it will allow them to extend their bonding back to what was originally in the governor's budget.
Please proceed.
The next item is a correction of a project name. One of the projects in the bill is simply titled incorrectly, the Memorial Union Remodel Phase 1 at Oregon State should really be listed as phase three. So that's just a correction there. Our fifth recommendation is for the extension of expenditure limitations on three projects. There are three projects that were approved in 1997. Those projects, because all capital construction projects have six-year life spans, those authority for those projects expired on June 30th. But these projects are still active and the universities are still trying to complete them. So we are recommending that you give these, you extend the life of these three projects by two more years to allow them to be completed. The projects include the University of, Natural History at the University of Oregon, project for seismic improvements on the parking structure number 3 at Portland State, and the Native American Cultural Center at Portland State. This does not increase the amount of funds that can be spent on these projects. It just extends the time period for them.
And that completes the recommendations. Was there a conceptual amendment?
Yes.
Bill?
I do need to report that there is a conceptual amendment to the bill. You do have draft amendments to the bill, the House Bill 5028-6 amendments. These amendments are correct, except they omit one thing that you approved in July, which was on the back page, as you can see, an increase in the expenditure limitation for the PSU Millar Library Research Center project that was approved in 1999. Due to my error, that information did not get to Legislative Council and is not in the Dash 6 amendments. I've spoken with Legislative Council, and they feel comfortable with just asking if you would be willing to conceptually amend that into the Dash 6s. The correct amendments should be available for full committee, as of now is scheduled for 3:30 p.m. But it is simply, it's not changing any decision you've made. It would just correct the amendments to add that one item back in.
Any discussion on the conceptual amendments? And then I am assuming, Mr. Bender, that by adopting the Dash 6s and the conceptual amendments and the recommendations in your memo, we would be in good shape to move this bill.
Absolutely.
Chair would accept the motion to conceptually amend the Dash 6 amendments to add the Portland State University Millar Library Research Center project. Madam Chair, we were going to hear from the Chancellor, I believe, before you do the motions. How do you want it?
Oh, that would be fine.
Okay. Please come forward. I'm sorry.
No problem.
For the record, Richard Jarvis, again, Chancellor of the Oregon University System, Madam Chair, members of the committee, on the ETIC question. Thank you. Just a reminder, as we know, this appeared in the governor's revised budget. There is a substantial backlog of capital projects with the ETIC initiative. It's 5 years into a 10-year program, and so the elements that appeared in this list are, in fact, not new to our campuses or to the backlog of projects. Moreover, I do want to emphasize that the entire review of these projects was conducted by the industry board members of ETIC, not by university administrators. So we feel that there was a deal of substantial authenticity in the way in which these projects were reviewed, and of course they carry with them that match of $18 million. So this has been something we've done our best to bring to you in as timely and adequate way as we possibly could.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chancellor.
Thank you.
With that, I would accept a motion to move into the Dash 6 amendments, a conceptual amendment including Portland State University Millar Library Research Center project, and to adopt the recommendations in LFO memo dated August 12th relating to House Bill 5028, signifying Part 2, and to move House Bill 5028 as amended and conceptually amended. Can I make a motion to move the Dash 6s into the bill?
I think, yes, this is as conceptually.
Make a motion to move House Bill 5028 with the Dash 6s as amended with the Dash 6s as conceptually amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. So moved. Senator Gordon has made the motion. Is there discussion? Representative March.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to put on the record that I would like to see the ETIC projects hopefully added back into a final bill, and in particular the capital improvement parts of those, the new facilities and improvements to facilities, are critical, I think, to us moving ahead in economic development, particularly in the engineering field. So I would hope that we are able to do that.
Thank you. Further comments?
I stand by my earlier comments, Madam Chair. I am concerned about PSU and OGI. But I have some reservations, frankly, about the rest.
Further comments? We have a motion. Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. And Representative Smith, could I prevail upon you to carry this one in full and on the House floor?
I'd be glad to. Thank you.
And Senator Messersly, could I prevail on you for the Senate side?
Sure.
Thank you. And I will close the work session on House Bill 1528 and close the public hearing, and the committee will reconvene at the call of the chair. Thank you.
Very good work.